gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. GoToMeeting's going to be exciting.
Is it?
They're going to be very, very excited.
Why?
Because this hour is brought to you by GoToMeeting, and it's a big, big show. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Okay, here's why they're going to be excited.
Okay.
Because we have Kathy Spiller of the Feminist Majority to talk about what's at stake in the California races.
Mm-hmm.
The Dog Whisperer is on the big show today. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu and actress, comedian, singer extraordinaire Julie Brown to debut, where she debuts all her hit singles here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
The last big hit, as you recall, the girl VP's got a gun.
Look out! The girl VP's got a gun!
Everybody run! The ex-beauty queen's got a gun!
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is still available on iTunes.
Yes, it is. All right. She will be live in studio to debut her new songs.
They're very good. They are parodies of Lady Gaga.
Yes.
and Kesha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Hilarious. All right. So a big show. Wow. I suppose we'll have to lead like every newscast is with what a complete giant asshat Carl Palladino is.
Yeah.
You know, we thought he was just sort of a funny, Sopranos-like thug. As it turns out, you know, I have to say, I had a friend over last night and we're watching, and no offense, he's just an ugly, ugly man, inside and out. I mean, he is just gross.
Kind of like Meg Whitman.
Stop it. Let's not bring her up again.
Well, you're bringing up people's looks?
No, I'm talking, it's not just his looks, he is just gross.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, you cannot even believe on a human decency level, and we've talked about this yesterday, but on the day when there was this horrible and horrific anti-gay gang violence in New York, he picks that day to try to suck up to a group that he thinks, it was just a political stunt. Like, oh, I'm going to talk to some, religious Jewish leaders and gay bash.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, doesn't this feel like the oldest play in the book?
Mm-hmm.
Just, oh boy, here we go again with a Republican candidate. And in the meantime, I don't know. I mean, this is getting beyond depressing, but another gay teenager has killed himself. This time in Oklahoma, 19-year-old Zach Harrington endured years of struggles due to his sexual orientation in high school, took his life a week after he attended a hate-filled city council meeting in his conservative small town of Norman, Oklahoma. And that's what I mean. So if you think that people like this in the public eye don't affect, there's no correlation there, then you're wrong. Why do you think kids like this are doing this? Because you have these idiots in public office that have a public forum. So, and he basically doubled down, didn't he, Chris? He said he does not regret controversial statements he made about homosexuality and gay marriage because the remarks I made, I believe in.
Well, didn't he say yesterday that he only said them because they were prepared for him by...
Well, he blamed the Jews yesterday. The Jewish leaders wrote the speech that he gave.
Okay, so now he's now he's backtracking on that excuse.
Yeah. Well, we'll go through what he said that he there was one line that he struck that the one line that that was reported that he said was there's nothing to be proud of in being a dysfunctional homosexual, and he said that was the one line he struck. But I'm going, how is that much worse than any of the other things that he did say?
I know plenty of functional homosexuals and plenty of dysfunctional heterosexuals.
What? No. There are no dysfunctional heterosexuals. Are you talking about this story? I have a whole stack today.
Oh, couple Lord.
Jailed for sex act at North Carolina Hot Wings restaurant. Is that less disgusting than what happens at a gay pride parade, I ask you? A man and woman face crime against nature charges after police say they engaged in sex acts in a parking lot of a restaurant with several other people nearby.
Crimes against nature statutes are still on the books?
Well, you can't. Apparently, it involves not doing it at a Hot Wings restaurant.
That would hurt.
Police say the two were engaged in a sex act in the parking area of the Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant on, not kidding, Cox Road. On Cox Road. The Buffalo Wild Wings. And the wings were a little wilder than usual.
Apparently.
That night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's dysfunctional.
That was funny. I just was case in point since you brought it up.
Sure.
About functional. Straight sex at a Hot Wings restaurant in front of a parking lot full of people? That's fine. Yes, sir, Reed Bob. gay pride parade? No.
Computer says
no. No, no, no. Yeah, so he said he took issue with the decision of his opponent, Andrew Cuomo, to take his daughters to a gay pride parade because the teaching of, you know, tolerance and diversity. Once again.
No.
No.
That's dysfunctional.
No.
Computer says no.
Yeah, so I love this. So he tries to, so he says, well, they originally reported that he had said this line about there's nothing to be proud of and being a dysfunctional homosexual. He said he had read the written remarks but crossed out that particular line. But here's the things he thought were okay. He said, among other things, that's not how God created us. He said of being gay, and that's not the example we should be showing our children.
Hmm.
It's just bad behavior.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said that children later in life who choose to marry people of the opposite sex and raise families would be much better off and much more successful. Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with why gay kids would kill themselves and think they might be second-class citizens, would it?
Wait, he doesn't think
that. And he also said, I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid and successful option.
Huh.
Yeah, so those things were better, than in his opinion, than the things that he...
So he doesn't think that homosexuals can be successful?
It is not it is not as valid nor successful a choice as having sex at a Hot Wings restaurant parking lot in front of a bunch of people, including children.
I think successful homosexuals like, you know, David Geffen and, you know, people like that
issue. Well, he is not valid.
Oh, okay.
Gets several hundred million, nearly $1 billion, not successful.
No, not at all.
Valid, no. Asked whether his comments were appropriate given the attack and the horrible anti-gay attacks in the Bronx. I mean, literally, he picks that weekend to say this. He said, don't misquote me as wanting to hurt homosexual people in any way. That would be a dastardly lie. Yeah, he can't see any, you know, connection there between his kind of comments and why there would be, you know, gay suicides or anti-gay violence. Yeah, he can't see anything.
No.
You know. He said, my approach is live and let live. No matter how invalid or unsuccessful your existence is. And how, yes, he's, oh, you live and let live. How is that live and let live? Oh, this is just, City Council Speaker in New York said Paladino statements are not only deeply offensive, but they are dangerous given the Bronx incidents and the suicides of gay Rutgers University student Tyler Clementi and several others.
Mm-hmm.
Asked on Sunday, he said, asked if his comments could still incite similar activity, you know, this anti-gay violence. He said, I hope not. I was trying to define myself as very clearly opposed to Mr. Cuomo. The only good news in the story, as you said yesterday, is that, you know, he's going to get thumped.
Big time.
Yes, his polls show him, oddly, way, way behind Andrew Cuomo.
And there were only a couple of people on Fox News yesterday who would... You know,
really?
Stand up for Paladino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone else was kind of like, eh, yeah, he's kind of gone off the deep end.
Yeah, but how do you... He told Matt Lauer on Monday, discrimination faced by homosexuals is ugly and terrible. Yeah, where could that possibly come from? What sort of views could that come from, that sort of discrimination? It's horrible. Oh, and this is nice of him. He said he would hire gays in his administration. As invalid and unsuccessful as they are as carbon-based life forms, he would be nice enough to employ them. Isn't that life lovely, Adam?
That's neato.
Wow. Okay, let's see. I'm just trying to see if there's anything new. There's several stories about this. Let's see if there's anything new. Oh, Paladino asked Lauer if he'd ever attended a gay pride parade, which I'm not sure why that's relevant.
Yeah.
Explaining to the NBC host, oh, who apparently has never heard of or seen a gay pride parade ever. He told Matt Lauer that the men who participate, quote, wear these little Speedos, and I don't think everyone wears a little Speedo.
No.
There are quite a variety of costumes.
You wore some kind of drag queen outfit.
I did. I wore like some patriotic tranny outfit that
yes.
I'm...
And you looked stunning.
Thank you. I have fishnets and riding crop and some sort of sparkly...
Knee-high white boots. I'm looking at the picture right now. I can see what you were wearing.
Oh, wait a minute. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Somebody put that up.
I think you put that up.
Anyway, they wear these little Speedos and they grind against each other, and it's just a terrible thing.
As opposed to having sex in the parking lot of a Hot Wings restaurant.
Yeah, which is okay, because
okay.
It's straight sex.
Sure.
Okay. I love this. Not only did he blame the Jews originally for writing the remarks, he then blamed the press Monday for, quote, improperly interpreting his remarks.
No,
there's
pretty
so
much...
There's so many different ways to interpret what he said, isn't there?
the press pretty much played his remarks as they were recorded.
The New York Post reports. Okay, wait, this is. Wait for it. This is my favorite punchline to the whole thing. The New York Post reports that the Palladino campaign is now considering depicting Cuomo as an anti-Semite. After he just blamed the Jews for his gay bashing. There's a 500 pages of opposition research apparently obtained by the Post. So that's he's going to try that next.
Does he think that's going to work?
Apparently, there's going to be a come-from-behind victory. Okay, here is the odious Carl Palladino on Sunday.
I just think my children and your children will be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option. It isn't.
Oh, yes. Gay people that get married to straight people have much more valid and successful lives. We've seen how that works out.
Britney Spears, talking to you.
Talking to you, Reverend Ted Haggard. I'm just saying, seriously? Really, they just have much more successful lives. Gay people that are forced to marry someone of the opposite sex have much more valid and successful lives. Mm-hmm. Do I even need to who are we did? Bishop Long, talking to you currently.
Bishop Spandex.
Hello. Carl Palladino on Monday.
I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with any gay rights. Only one. Well, no marriage.
Okay. All right, then. We have the right to work in his administration, which is a treat, I'm sure, beyond compare.
Okay. It's like a gay pride parade at his offices.
Can I wear a Speedo? All right, Andrew Cuomo.
I think this was a cynical political ploy. We've seen it before. You go to one group, one conservative group, and you tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah, I have to say that was disturbing, the applause for those comments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like, ugh, ick, mm-hmm. ick. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mike in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
First of all, with Carl Palladino, when did Fashions by Columbo become famous? That's what I'm wondering, first of all.
Just one more thing, ma'am.
And also, you know what? What's really weird is they had no women. No women were allowed inside both of these meetings.
Yeah.
And out in front, they were shooing women away. At an anti-gay rally, they're shooing women away. Why doesn't this make sense?
For the Isn't It Ironic file. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Isn't it ironic?
Okay.
Well, to be fair, you know, Orthodox Jewish, you know, no,
sure.
No women allowed.
So. Sure.
Yeah.
David and they pulled up the ladder. No chicks in the clubhouse.
Right, in the tree fort.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. David in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I think you said something that was incorrect. You said there's a possibility that Carl Palladino might have a come-from-behind victory. A homophobe like Carl Palladino can't have a come-from-behind
victory. La, 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 la. Okay, let's go to Jan, my right-wing bunt cake from up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport in Amherst. Hey, Jan.
Yeah, and that's a preface to me living in a state that has tens of billions of dollars in deficit, brought on by his predecessor dad, Mario the Pious.
Ah.
No,
you're
no,
in. You're calling from Palladino country. He's from Buffalo.
I am. You know, listen. I care more about the tens of billions of dollars that we're going to have to pay more than an inarticulate man. You know, this guy did not get to be where he is by just being a fool. However,
I see.
Mario,
well, you know, listen. Homophobes can make a lot of money too. What did he make his money on in Buffalo? By the way, I know he's from my hometown of Buffalo.
He made his money on real estate.
Mm-hmm.
He was smart. He was very hard. He was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. He just had many, many skills. He decided to do this.
Well, what does he own?
It doesn't make him a natural leader, though, John.
No, that's fine. He owns it. You familiar with the Ellicott Square building?
Yeah.
You're from Buffalo. He does own that one and a myriad of other ones. I actually have done business with his company in the past, but let me just please say one thing.
What sort of business are you in, John?
I'm a salesman, as you are aware. I go into people's homes all the time.
What do you think? I spend all day Googling you? I don't know what you do.
No, I told you that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Because, yeah, you're the only person I've ever talked to on the show. Oh,
no, I know.
All
right. Let me, if I might just say one more thing,
yes,
I could stop.
Go ahead.
This thing with, the only thing Andrew did in his life was be a member of the Lucky Sperm Club. His dad was the governor.
The Lucky Sperm Club? Oh, that's a good one.
No, well, where else did he come from? I mean, we could talk about what he did. Hello?
Hello?
No, because I always get cut off, and then you always...
No, Andrew Cuomo has... What are you talking about? I mean, yes, he's Mario Cuomo's son, but he's also had a pretty good career of his own, wouldn't you say?
Isn't he a lawyer, John?
All right, since you just brought that up, if I may say, he was in charge of HUD when President Clinton was president, and they did sell this Community Redevelopment Act. I mean, if you look and you look at, they got Andrew Cuomo actually saying, we are...
So you don't care what kind of a vile bigot Carl Paladino is, because he owns some buildings in Buffalo, he's qualified to be governor?
I have met Carl Paladino. I know people who have known him for 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
The man is not a bigot.
Really?
So it
is actually the forward button itself that is racist. So it's okay to forward horribly racist emails. It's okay to say incredibly homophobic things in a time when gay people are being attacked and killed and killing themselves. That's okay with you.
No, Steph, please, don't put words in my mouth. I think it is horrible what happens to these people. I don't want anyone traumatized.
Right, but you don't see any connection between leaders like Carl. This latest kid that killed himself in Oklahoma, it was literally because he went to a city council meeting and listened to some people like Carl Paladino scream things like Carl Paladino said. You don't think there's any connection between kids being told they're second-class citizens and what's been happening around the country?
I have absolutely no doubt that it plays on their psyches. I have absolutely zero problem. However, there is free speech. But that being said, Steph, and I'm not condoning.
Yes, and
what
he and the people of New York are free to give him a political thumping as he's about to receive,
and the political finger too.
Yes.
Well, no, he may not. He still has to debate, and I'd love to see that.
Oh, really? How many points is he behind right now?
I don't care. 20.
You don't
20,
care.
20.
They showed him down. Well, the polling actually.
If you didn't care how far he was
down,
why are you calling then?
You're saying he's going to lose. You're saying he's going
to lose. Yes, he's going to lose.
He's going to stop him. Okay?
Yes, yes.
That may be because of.
But you think he'll turn it all around with a debate? Because clearly he has such a way with words.
Oh boy.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The fate of the world depends on you getting to second base with
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We'll get back to the Paladino matter in just a moment. We have our friend Craig Griffin, who's the CEO of ITM Trading, on the line for a very good reason. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I wanted to have you on because there's so much. You know, we talk about Glenn Beck on our show, and I want to hit this head on because I don't know if you. I'm sure you're aware Congressman Anthony Weiner has talked a lot about how Glenn Beck uses fear mongering to try to sell gold. And you know, I've been endorsing you guys for a long time, and I want people to understand the difference. You know what I mean? Because this is a tough economy, and we're not trying to fearmonger. You guys aren't trying to fearmonger and say, oh, you have to buy gold because the Obama administration is going to, take the whole country down, correct? It's just that it's a solid investment among others, right?
Right. Well, I definitely wouldn't call it fearmongering. I would call it taking in consideration the facts that are at hand. And the facts that are at hand, Steph, haven't been haven't been created over the last 2 years.
Right.
You know, the problems that we're facing in this country have been created over decades. And the stimulus that needed to be injected for the banking system came right out of the Bush administration. And again, this isn't trying to place a blame on my part as to where this is coming from.
Right.
It's just a fact that, you know, it is what it is.
Well, you know, in my opinion, though, Craig, I feel like, you know, Glenn Beck, unfortunately, has in some quarters given buying gold a bad name. And I own gold coins from you guys, from ITM. You know, I've always had a great relationship with you. And I just thought it's something in this economy, because people are scared, it's good to address it, because, you know, it is a solid investment, among other things. I think a lot of people are scared in this economy, and you'd be a good person to ask, how do you make money in a downturn?
Well, you know, gold is like any other asset class that we might acquire in any given time in any given economy. And it is based upon fundamentals and based upon the timing that you acquire an asset that is critical. And, you know, the stock market, a lot of people think the stock market and gold goes up in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to explain, if I could, that, you know, since October 9th of 2002, when the stock market bottomed at 72.86 following the crash of the NASDAQ in late 1999, early 2000, that gold and the stock market went up in conjunction with each other.
Right.
The stock market went from 72.86 to 14,164, and gold went, you know, to over $1,100 an ounce, now over $1,300 an ounce.
Well, but see, Craig, this is my point about, you know, people like Glenn Beck sort of fear-mongering. You know, they say that President Obama is so bad for business. Meanwhile, the stock market has been going up and up, and gold is going up,
right.
Correct?
Absolutely. And it went up during the period of the Bush administration as well. Again, you know, we talk about it as though it might be a political issue, but it's really a matter of, the Obama administration inherited a recession that was built into the economy when they came in, you know, in defense of the Obama administration.
Right.
And it's no secret that, you know, when an economy goes into a recession, first of all, you lose tax revenue. And secondly, the public is tapping and has a difficult time spending to keep the economy going.
Right.
So stimulus is a necessary aspect of defending a recession.
Absolutely. Well, what's your take on the recession, though? Is it over? I mean, I know that some economists have certainly said it is.
Well, yes, it officially ended in June, and we've been touting in our newsletter and talking to people in our updates, you know, that the recession was over, and that, you know, when the official call came, that it would reflect that it ended in the summer of last year. But, you know, employment is always a lagging indicator of a recession. A recession always ends, and employment is always lagging behind a recession. And we just came out of a period that, you know, that the public is not very aware of. You know, we've been in a really critical period from a tipping point that may have kicked us back into a recession next year. Now, we're not totally out of the woods yet, but we certainly had an uptick in economic data as well as the stock market that indicates that, you know, in the next 6 to 12 months at this time, it doesn't appear that we'll go into another recession. Now, if we had gone into another recession at this point, it's one thing when you go into a recession, when you come out of a period like we were in 2007, where the economy is strong and it's really ticking along and we're not very vulnerable. But today, based upon what we've come out of with this last recession, we're extremely vulnerable. So, yes, we are in a recovery, and it's important that we stay out of this next recession. And we discuss these things in our email updates, in our newsletters, and we've got a new newsletter in the works. And, you know, if people would like to give us a call at 1-888-OWN-GOLD, and that's 888-OWN-GOLD, we'll send them the newsletter as it comes out and send them information if they'd like regarding some of the things we're talking about.
Yeah, I that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I wanted to make the point that it's not owning gold that's a bad thing. It's buying it from Glenn Beck's company. You need to call ITM at 888-OWN-GOLD. And I thank you for your supporting our show, and we support you. So I really wanted to clear that up, because I think that it's like I say, there's just been a lot of fear mongering and a lot of talk too. I wanted to, about gold being in a bubble. Is that true?
Well, you know, a bubble comes with great public participation. A bubble looks like something like what we saw for the NASDAQ in 1999, early 2000. When it had more than doubled in value almost overnight. When the public was into the stock market, we had about 56% public participation in the stock market in 1999. I don't know what the recent figure is, but I don't think it's far off of that. But gold, for instance, I saw a figure the other day that said less than 4% of the public owns gold today. And I actually think it's less than that. But generally, when a bubble takes place, it takes place with high public participation. It looks like, for instance, in Phoenix, Arizona, in 2005, when people were lined up around condo projects here and new housing projects to get a lottery ticket so they could buy a home. That's what a bubble looks like. Mm-hmm. And currently, we don't have the public, you know, strongly in gold. More people are acquiring gold today than in the last 30 years. So a bubble doesn't look like what we're seeing with gold today, where it's consolidating and continuing to move up in a channel with low public participation.
Right. Well, you know, Craig, we wanted to take some time and have you on, because, like I say, we talk about Glenn Beck on the show a lot, and I think that you don't need to fearmonger, you know, to say that it is a solid investment among others, and I have some, and I was sick of it getting a bad name. So I thank you for coming on, and it's 888-OWN-GOLD, and you guys have been supporting us, and we support you, and thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thanks, Steph.
All right, there he goes, Craig Griffin.
ITM Trading.
Glenn Beck.
Patchouli.
Let's go. All right, let's go to Julie in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Julie.
Welcome. You know, Stephanie.
Oh no, I'm always here. No need to welcome me.
I think we need to call Jan and Amherst or wherever he is to come out of that room with the black guys. And if he really knows Carl Paladino, perhaps he would know that he made most of his money renting office space to the same government he said just wasted all the money.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know.
And the other thing I wanted to say about these folks is I've really had it up to here with these excuses for these lame candidates that just say the most detestable things that are not acceptable in polite society and shouldn't be condoned. And the more and more these Republicans who try to defend these horrible, detestable people just say, oh, it doesn't matter what they believe or what they did or what their background is. They're saying the right things right now about the government. Now, that just sounds extremely familiar to me, but from another era. When people used to say, hey, Mussolini's not a great guy, but the trains are running on time.
Yep, yep, exactly.
People need to start putting in perspective, you know, their values. I mean, are we Americans that feel everyone has an equal right to live here and an equal right to their beliefs? That doesn't mean you have a platform to get up in public like that and say horrible, horrible things that are causing people to injure themselves and
others,
and
injure themselves and others. It's like, come on, you can't say there's no correlation. I mean, this latest poor kid that killed himself had just come from a meeting where, you know, their local version of Carl Paladino was screaming stuff like that, you know?
And if you're going to talk morality, you better have some standing to do it. I mean, Paladino, this caller this morning that said, oh, well, I heard him on Bill Press talking about, well, sure, he had a child with another woman, but he's over that now. No, he isn't. He still has a child.
Yeah, yeah.
And up in Alaska yesterday, another one of these Republicans stood up, Joe Miller, who's in a lot of trouble for a lot of things he did in his life, cheating on his job to help Sarah Palin, a lot of problems he's having up there. And yesterday he had a little 7-minute fit in front of the cameras and said he won't be taking any more questions about his personal life
because,
or his background.
Because the things that are coming out are tending to make him look like a giant hypocrite.
Well,
so he'll take no further questions.
And possibly a lawbreaker, because one of the things he's being accused of right now, and some newspapers turned around and just sued him to get the records on it, was using his job computers to help Sarah Palin in her gubernatorial campaign. Yeah. So, you know, if you're gonna stand up and talk about other people's morality and how the government should be run, then your background and your actions are relevant.
Yep, absolutely.
And Jan, you know, we love you, but, you know, you're better when you're funny. And don't come on the show and defend people that say horrible things like that, or we'll have to spank you.
All right, thank you, Julie. Go, Julie. It's your birthday. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with more on this right-wing world and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, that's me. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Linda in New York with a Carl Palladino fun fact. Hi, Linda.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because their ringer said my phone was funky or something.
Oh.
But,
I'm pretty sure mine is fine. I have a professional microphone.
Oh, okay. You got to come back to New York. Our race is better than your race. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You're right. Your race is a lot more entertaining than ours, I must say.
We're getting all kinds of media exposure.
What are the chances that our candidate for governor is the Republican that's actually shoved somebody? You would think Carl Palladino would have.
Yeah, well, that one. I missed that. It was in today's Buffalo.
He doesn't bother with shoving. He just goes directly to taking you out, apparently.
Yeah. No, I think he looks like that. Fat Tony on The Simpsons?
Yes, you're right, he does.
Oh, Mr. Burns.
No, Fat Tony.
Oh, Fat Tony. I'm sorry, yes.
The mafia guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. He reminds me of him. But anyhow, in today's paper, according to Crazy Carl, his nephew has faced problems as a gay man.
Yes, his nephew has the gay on him. Is what? So I'm wondering what he thinks about Uncle Carl.
I don't know.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, Linda, that he said, oh, yes, my nephew has faced discrimination, because of homophobic ass like you.
My uncles. And plus, he made a lot, his father-in-law had a big business that he took over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mary. Yeah, he's the creepy uncle. He's the creepy Uncle Carl.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. What are the... I don't... Okay. Lorraine in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Lorraine.
Hello, Stephanie. We love you in Buffalo, first of all.
I love me some Buffalo, my hometown.
I know. Well, here's the thing. As you well know, Steph, I mean, you grew up here. You know there are many people who don't feel the way Carl Palladino does. And we're all, you know, most of us are horrified. And so the Pride Center of Western New York is putting together a rally today, a peaceful rally at 4 o'clock in front of the Ellicott Square building to show Carl that we don't have the same values as he does.
Good.
I'm bringing my 11-year-old son because I want to show him that I am not going, it's not acceptable for my son to hear these things. That he spouts, and for me to think that's acceptable, and it's not. And I encourage all Buffalonians who feel the same way to bring their kids and show this. And I have to tell you, I am actually glad that Carl made these statements because, as unbelievable as it is to myself, I actually found out that I had gay friends who were thinking about voting for this man.
Oy. Wow!
I know. Well, and then of course,
I know. As a Buffalo being my hometown, it's just horrifying, isn't it? Tim McVeigh, and then now him. Like, oh.
I know. Don't need to add to the list, you know.
I know.
And so thankfully, most of my gay friends now, since Carl made those statements on National Coming Out Day, how lovely. They said, okay, I'm out. And also, of course, today is the anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death.
Oh, so, I know. No, I mean his timing is, you know, could not be more exquisite. What with this gang violence in New York, the Rutgers thing. And then, you know, like I say, we have another gay teenager in Oklahoma who just killed himself. I mean, and literally, you know, in that case, it's almost like it couldn't be more clear the correlation. He went to a city council meeting where he heard all this kind of screaming from their local officials that are like Carl Palladino.
Oh, it's so frustrating. And Stephanie, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I am actually a liberal talk show host in Buffalo. So when you came out and said, oh, you know, I was worried I'm not going to represent, don't worry. May I be actually known as the official straight liberal talk show host in Buffalo?
Absolutely. All right, Lorraine. Thank you, honey.
Thank you, girl.
Go to that rally. Get it. Go and get it. All right. By the by, speaking of Glenn Beck, I was glad to have our friend Craig Griffin from ITM on because I'm sick of Glenn Beck giving everything a bad name.
Yes.
For instance, we have talked about this. Can I say I think this is one of the most underreported stories in the media is how all of these actual cases of violence have been these people, they have been egged on by the Glenn Becks of the world.
They certainly have.
And the mainstream media ignores it. Like, oh, because they know that Fox News and the right-wing radio hosts will scream if they. But, I mean, once again, direct correlations between, you know, rhetoric and what people are doing. There has been a string of violence where they've found, whether it's Beck's book or Hannity's or Levin's, this latest one, Byron Williams.
Yep.
You know this story, right? The Oakland, California. The heavily armed man who allegedly opened fire at the at police in Oakland, California in July while on his way to attack the ACLU and the Liberal Tides Foundation in San Francisco has now given interviews to a pair of California journalists describing his motivations and his media consumption habits. Williams, a conspiracy theorist and enthusiast who has picked up segments of his world view from both Glenn Beck and Alex Jones, the radio host.
Mm-hmm.
He started watching Fox News because of Beck and the things he exposed that blew my mind. Literally. So, you know, that's the problem is we make fun of Glenn Beck and his fear-mongering, and I'm just saying in some instances he goes right – we've talked to people from Media Matters about it. He goes right up to the line where, of course, you can go, oh, no, of course Glenn Beck didn't say, oh, go shoot somebody. But it's like when you go up to and over the line as many times as he does with fear-mongering and that you're going to be surprised that stuff like this happens.
Yep.
You know, I'm just saying, and this is my point about the Carl Paladinos of the world. If you think, and I'm not, of course he's not directly responsible for what happened in the Bronx.
But he's contributing to the atmosphere in America that leads to all of this.
Yes, and to gay kids killing themselves. It's just, you know, for a minute as a human being. And by the way, when you pick the day that your son dies to tell your wife that you have an illegitimate child and everybody in the world knows but her, don't stand on some sort of moral values soapbox.
And we just had another...
I guess that's a more valid and successful life than a gay person could ever hope to have.
And we just had another transgender teen in Clovis, California, outside of Fresno, kill himself. That's hitting the wires today.
Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Stephanie, I got on.
Yes.
You know, the question I would have asked that that gal regarding her gay friends not voting for Paladino, why would they vote for him in the first place? Why would they even consider him?
I know.
You know, I'm gay, and I just don't understand this.
There's so many other reasons other than being gay not to vote for him. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? I'm just opposed to these log cabin Republicans that will vote for Republicans that don't obviously represent their interests. But you know why they do? It's greed.
Well, I was reading a story in the New York Times this weekend about, you know, these the gay Republican group that's like cheering on Ann Coulter. And I'm like, what?
Uh-huh.
She called John Edwards the F word for gay man. Like, what? Why? You know what I mean? She's against gay marriage. She's against. I mean, I don't get it either, Joe. But
yeah.
I mean, it's again voting against your own best interests. I think that they've sold this fiscal nonsense for so long, don't you think? That Republicans are better. You know, I think I was listening to somebody the other day was saying Democrats have always left a surplus. Like this is just a complete misnomer that somehow the Republicans are better with the economy or they're more fiscally conservative. George Bush left an incredible deficit. You know. I mean, he took an incredible surplus, left an incredible deficit. Now we're digging our way out of it, and yet they're still able to sell this, you know, we're the party that's better. And by the way,
makes no sense.
It's kind of a crack-up. The fiscal conservative candidates, Joe Miller, Christine O'Donnell, who've been on the public dole forever, Sharon Engel, they can't even manage their own money. And they're railing against government. They're just the biggest lot of hypocrites I've seen in quite some time. 58 minutes after the hour, Kathy Spiller of the Feminist Majority next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, our phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, the dog whisperer. Shh, it's coming up this hour.
Yes.
Energy Secretary Stephen Chu next hour, and
this
actress,
hour.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yes, an actress, singer, comedian extraordinaire, Julie Brown, will debut her new hilarious hit singles here on the big show next hour. All right, lots to get to. You know, California, we've got some exciting races going on out here, including the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Barbara Boxer, who you don't want to get into a fight. You really, you do not.
I guess he wants a fight.
All right. Bring it. Bring it, Carly.
And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
We want to talk to Kathy Spiller of the Feminist Majority about the big races out here. Good morning, Kath.
Good morning.
You know, I wanted to talk to you because everybody says this election is about jobs and the economy. To me, that's a no-brainer in this race. Barbara Boxer has brought tons of jobs to California. Carly Fiorina has outsourced thousands of jobs, you know, and run a company into the ground, period. So that seems like game over.
Yes.
But there's a lot of other issues, that, particularly out here in California, that are important. Talk to us about those.
Well, some very critical issues, especially, Stephanie, to women voters in California. And, you know, with all the talk about housekeepers and hairstyles and salty language and all that, we want to make sure that women voters know what's at stake in this race for the U.S. Senate. Barbara Boxer has been a leading voice for women's rights in the United States Senate. She has fought for us at every turn. And she's up against a woman who has said that she absolutely would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade if given the opportunity. That means putting women's right to abortion and birth control up for a vote, and Carly Fiorina would be fighting against our rights while Barbara Boxer has been there year after year safeguarding women's most fundamental right to self-determination. That's probably the most important issue when it comes to women's rights on the line in this election.
Yeah, I mean, Kathy, aside from her deeply unpleasant personality, Carly Fiorina... I've said this before. I mean, you know, the camera doesn't lie. What she was caught on tape saying about Senator Boxer, I mean, that's who she is. It's like an episode of Mean Girls. You know, it's like, I mean, this is a United States senator, and she's, you know, making snarky eighth grade comments about her hair.
Yeah, well, and how mean is it to say that, you know, you're with Sarah Palin on this issue of women's rights to abortion and birth control, and
right.
Who's going to fight for our rights for pay equity? It's been Barbara Boxer. Do we really trust Carly Fiorina to make the fight when her Republican colleagues have been opposing all of the laws to advance women's equal rights in the workplace and equal rights to job opportunities?
Well, Kathy, Carly Fiorina has made an interesting choice, and by interesting, I mean I think she's going to get thumped on Election Day to just continue to run hard right, which is really out of step with a lot of Californians, like you say, on choice, on the environment, on offshore drilling. Same-sex marriage. I mean, she is just out of step, I think, with the majority of Californians.
Just simply, she's too extreme, and she's especially too extreme for the women voters of California. We have been a leading state for gaining access to women's health care insurance, for maternity coverage, for getting rid of gender price discrimination. You know, Fiorina has said that one of the first things she wants to do is overturn the health care reform laws that, for the first time, make it illegal for health insurance companies to charge women a higher price for the same health insurance coverage. And Barbara was right there fighting for us to make sure that insurance companies have to cover mammograms and pap smears. 80% of health policies written for individuals in this country do not cover maternity care. So Barbara Boxer has been there for women, and we're sounding the call and are warning women that Fiorina is simply too extreme for California and for California. California women especially.
No, I'm, you know, this one, I, as you know, I'm a, you know, I consider Senator Boxer really like a friend and hero. And so this one's very personal for me. And this one is very emotional that I feel like she really is one of those angels in America, as I guess Frank Rich wrote. I think that she has stood with us women. She has stood with gay people. She has stood with Californians that need jobs. She has stood with us. And it's time for us to stand with her. Because the thought of losing Barbara Boxer, particularly to someone like Carly Fiorina in the United States Senate, is just mind-boggling to me.
Well, we don't want women to be confused about where Barbara Boxer and Carly Fiorina are on these issues. And it was very clever of the Republicans to recruit a woman to run against the leading women's rights advocate in the U.S. Senate, you know, in an effort to confuse voters. And we don't want women to be confused. There's only one candidate in the Senate race that has a solid record for us, and that's Barbara Boxer.
Excuse me, Kathy, but that's the way we felt back during the last presidential race when they picked Sarah Palin, as if to say, see, she's just like Hillary Clinton. We've got a woman. We were saying, you do get that it's not just any woman, right?
Exactly. And, you know, the women voters got that loud and clear, and we want to be sure they get it in the Senate race, too. And all you have to look at who is Sarah Palin endorsed in this race? Carly Fiorina.
Well, and Kathy, it's not that she's, you know, I think that Carly Fiorina is out of step with a lot of California voters on those issues. I think it's interesting when you bring up sort of the women's issues, I think there is something more sort of visceral and emotional going on. Like when I say when you see Carly Fiorina caught on tape talking about Barbara Boxer's hair, there's something that we women recognize about that kind of woman. Meg Whitman, there is something that we recognize about the kind of woman that has another woman raise her children for 9 years, considers her part of the family, and then just throws her out like garbage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whether she knew or not, she was illegal. She's Meg Whitman. She could have helped her.
Right.
You know,
right. No,
I mean,
I totally
and the
agree.
Fact that you're a billionaire and you don't even pay somebody gas money to run around and do your errands or for the number of hours she's worked. I mean, I think,
more.
I mean, I'm just saying, I know a lot of women in California, you know, have a very strong connection with the women that help them run their household or raise their children. And it's a very visceral, emotional thing that people understand what that kind of person is like.
You're absolutely right. And what we've got to do is get to the polls. We've got to vote those absentee ballots that everybody already has. And we have got to get to the polls on November 2nd to make sure that the women of this state vote for their own interests by not only returning Barbara Boxer to the U.S. Senate, but by voting for Jerry Brown for governor. These are very important races. The country is looking at California, and we've got to send a very strong message that only candidates that are unequivocally for women's rights and equality and opportunities will be the choice of California women voters.
Kathy, tell us how we can help and how we can, because obviously a lot in the news about the enthusiasm gap, yada, yada, yada. How do we get involved? How do we, you know, get other people involved?
Well, women all over California, obviously, can volunteer for those campaigns, and they can volunteer for the Feminist Majorities campaign to reelect Barbara Boxer. They can go to feministmajority.org. They can sign up to volunteer, work on Election Day. They can call us here at 310-556-2500. We're going to have women at polling places on Election Day to be sure that people know that to save legal abortion, you've got to save Barbara Boxer. We're going to be on college campuses. There are women, young women on the campuses are just alive on this campaign because their rights are really at stake in this election, and they're helping spread the word and organize students to get to those polls on Election Day just like 2 years ago. We changed history with young voters. We've got to do it again. So we hope that people will volunteer. They'll get out and work for these candidates, and they can join the Feminist Majority in our effort to reelect Barbara Boxer.
Well, Kathy, and I can speak on being a pale substitute for Barbara Boxer. I had to fill in and speak for her when she had food poisoning a few weeks ago. And trust me, you do not want a pale imitation of Barbara Boxer to show up in the United States Senate.
Well, you did your best.
I was plucky. I tried. It was like, you know, the big Broadway star that's out sick, and then they announced the fill-in, and everyone's like, what?
Well, Stephanie, I know
we get who?
You're pretty darn good.
All right. Kathy Spiller of the Feminist Majority. Thanks, as always, Kath.
Thank you.
All right. There she goes. Oh, we have to give her a You Go Girl. From the
yes, we do. Because she's a feminist. From the Feminist Majority.
Indeed.
Yes. What?
Hey, hang on now. They have finally found a candidate that might be too extreme for the Republican Party.
Really?
Yes. Eric, we mentioned this yesterday. We wondered if Eric Cantor, as the only Jewish member of the Republican Jewish member of the Congress,
mm-hmm.
might object to the guy that dresses up in the Nazi uniforms. Might. And as it turns out...
Computer said, yeah.
That's the one guy.
The one guy, okay.
Yes, the headline reads, after embracing privatizers, Panthers, Tea Partiers, and ex-witch, Cantor distances the GOP from the Nazi reenactor.
Oh, okay. So there is a line.
There it is.
Okay.
Appearing on Fox News, Eric Cantor finally revealed just how extreme every Republican candidate needs to be in order to be rejected by their party leadership. Reacting to Republican Ohio congressional candidate Rich Lott's membership in a Nazi reenactment group that salutes Nazi sympathizers who viewed the Third Reich as, quote, the protector of personal freedom and their way of life. Cantor expressly repudiated Lott's candidacy in exchange with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, our personal favorite. Debbie Wasserman Schultz said, you have one candidate in Ohio who actually thinks it's a good bonding experience to reenact Nazi battles with his son. And Cantor said, I would absolutely repudiate that and do not support an individual that would do something like that. And Wasserman Schultz says, well, you haven't. Cantor said, well, I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
So only with his feet held to the fire by Debbie Wasserman Schultz did he say, all right.
They let the allies win every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters.
It's not that the Nazis always win the battles.
He's the Meadowlark Lemon of the whole. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to get in a fight with Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
No, no,
you do not.
So let's review. Think Progress has done a handy-dandy primer for us. Not too extreme for the GOP. Stripping financial security from millions of seniors, eliminating Medicare, taking away the right to elect senators, stripping away American citizenship, dropping out of the UN, dabbling in witchcraft, eliminating all sex in America. Not too extreme. Too extreme? Glorifying Nazis. Now,
okay.
Well,
there's the line.
In costume.
Well, you know, people do that in movies all the time, wear SS uniforms.
Yes,
doesn't mean that they support
but they're playing the bad
guy. Actors, for God's sake. They don't do it just for fun. They don't do it for free. All right.
They're earning a paycheck.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. You used to be a waitress.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The waitresses, right?
Yes.
It is the waitresses, yes.
Good, Jeff. You win nothing. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, Rich Iott should learn how to keep his mouth shut, but I have a better idea. He was busy on CNN yesterday explaining himself that he's just really a history buff, and this is all about, you know, admiration for certain things. And I think we need to just create, if he wants to reenact, why don't we have Can You Survive a Concentration Camp?
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah.
See, I just, once you get caught in a Nazi uniform, there's just so few places to go for excuses.
Recreate Auschwitz around January 1943, and he can live on the food, live in the conditions, work 16 hours a day, have some gruel and a piece of moldy bread, and then because the real heroes of that war were the people who survived the death camps. So if Rich wants a real experience, it seems to me that, you know, it would make a great show. Forget the reality TV. You know, let's put those people, those idiots in that situation and see how well they do. Then they can talk about heroism.
Yep. All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. All right. We were just talking about the races out here in California. Mm-hmm. Guess what may be the deciding factor?
What?
Marijuana.
All right, dude.
Forget the billion-dollar budget hole and the layoff threats. The big debate in California right now, whether a bong war over legalizing pot could help boost Governor Moonbeam back into office.
Can we stop using the pejorative Governor Moonbeam, please?
I know. I'm just kidding.
Okay, thank you.
Kidding.
Meg Whitman's.
Yeah.
Just kidding. And Prop 19 is what it is.
Right.
The Golden State ballot measure that would make possessing and growing marijuana legal. Argue the measure is going to drive younger voter turnout in such a way as it will benefit Democrats statewide, including Jerry Brown and Barbara Boxer. Who actually are both against legalizing, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It literally is the thumb on the scale that has been generally missed by the polling models out there. It's going to have an impact not only on the initiative, but everything else on the ballot, including the candidate, said a pollster for the Yes on 19 campaign. There's an energy and enthusiasm unprecedented. Well, I guess in stoners particularly.
Maybe we need some Woodstock reenactors. You know, just like hippies.
Yeah,
and
exactly. This is clever. Mud. It's the Just Say Now campaign.
Yes.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude.
Eating
some food, voting for Democrats. Two independent pollsters say they're seeing evidence of what Rolling Stone magazine dubbed the burnout turnout.
Mr. Man for governor.
Yeah, we need to get them off their asses and to the polling places, though. That's the
ironically,
problem.
You would think the stoners would be the last people we get off the couch.
It was Tuesday?
Dude. This Tuesday?
I totally spaced it.
Prop 19 is...
Our future depends on the stoners.
That's...
Proposition 19 leading solidly in the polls. One of them 47 to 38. One another poll 49, 42. The under 40 crowd, though, supporting it 59% to 33%.
Of course they are.
I love the head of the Republican Party here said, it doesn't surprise me that they would turn to the Hail Mary Jane strategy to get their voters excited. California said the chairman of the California Republican Party, by coincidence, driving to Weed, California, when he spoke to Politico by phone. Dude, I'm driving to Weed. All right.
Wow. That's like cosmic, you know, he's driving to Weed. And he's talking about
this is the elections
stunners.
Out here may be decided by people that support the toe food groups.
Yes. Tostitos, Cheetos, Doritos, nachos,
and Cheetos.
Oh, this Tuesday?
Dang.
Our political future depends on people who may be too baked to get off.
You know,
the couch.
Our governor, somebody might write in Aquabuda, might be the governor of California. As a write-in victory.
All hail.
Aquabuda, dude.
Kentucky. All hail, Aquabuda.
All hail.
Wow.
Oh, boy. All right.
Well, we get to call, what's-her-face, Governor IMAX if she gets in.
Are you referring to Meg Whitman's forehead upon which someone could show a drive-in movie? It is so large.
Jim,
how dare you?
You could show Avatar in 3D.
We don't know for sure if you could
forehead.
Show Avatar.
You really could.
There has been speculation that there is more room on her giant gums. But you know what? Come on. Stop making me go there.
Yeah, but that's discolored. You need a big white surface. And her forehead is so perfect for it.
She's a big white surface. That's her.
Okay. You know what? I was trying to elevate the conversation, and I failed miserably.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. We don't elevate conversations.
This is a nutty year. Did you hear about we mentioned the rally where someone threw a book at the president? It turns out it's a fan of the president who just wanted him to read his book.
Yeah,
that's the way to get the president to read your book.
I think the Secret Service has a different spin on that.
He was an over-exuberant Obama supporter who merely wanted to make sure the president had a copy of his book.
Maybe want to test his reaction, see if he can duck as quickly as George Bush.
Yes. Apparently the Secret Service bought it, though, because I guess it was true. He was just a... And then there was the naked guy. There was a streaker that was trying to sprint in front of Obama with the name of a website written on his chest.
Yeah.
He had sought the $1 million reward offered by a shipping industry billionaire to be the first person to successfully streak by Obama with the name of the website written on his chest.
And all the people in the pictures I saw that were standing around him, they were kind of grimacing at. So it must have been really ugly what he was showing.
Yeah, this is a cattywampus year in politics.
I don't think they were looking at his chest.
No, they weren't. Just, they were looking south.
At his shortcomings.
Right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with the Dog Whisperer next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are a foxy treat.
Oh, thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As you know, I am my dog's mom.
Yes.
So I can't believe that I have never met the dog whisperer, Caesar Milan, who I'm very excited to say good morning to. Good morning, Caesar.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am fine. You've got, first of all, you're everywhere. You have a book, a TV show. What should we talk about first? The National Geographic Channel show, Dog Whisperer with Caesar Milan, right? And the new book is Caesar's Rules, Your Way to Train a Well-Behaved Dog. So the new season starts, correct?
That's correct. Started last Friday. And we kick it with a Howie Mandel episode and a father and daughter situation, which it was very, very interesting, going from comedy to a relationship and a family.
Well, I heard about this. So he has a chihuahua named Lola, and I think he's pretty famous for having OCD. So he didn't really, he would prefer to not really even have the dog around him. What, how did you, and Lola apparently was really protective of his wife, right?
Right. And plus, you know, Howie's behavior, not so much the OCD, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like dogs, you know, and, and they don't, you know, want to be around dogs. So what those people have to learn is just to stay calm. That's all. Right. And then the dog gives him space. You know, so Howie can, Howie would do that, and then Lola would not feel challenged by him. But Howie unconsciously challenged Lola or teased Lola. And for him, joking around and seeing the teeth and, you know, and said, look at her, she's about to, So all this chaos makes Lola even more aggressive. And so she feels, because they spend more time, Lola and Terry, together, that she needs to protect them from Howie.
Right. Well, and chihuahuas, if you pardon my saying, seem to be a little high strung in the first place. is it tougher to train certain kinds of dogs?
No. It's tougher to train Howie Mandel.
Well, you know, somebody makes the good point that your gift is of rehabilitating dogs and training their owners, and that really is the problem, right? It's very seldom the dog; it's the owner, right?
Well, it's never the dog. You know, dogs in third world country don't have psychological problems. Only dogs in modern society have psychological problems, even though they're skinny. You know, dogs in third world country are skinny, but they don't have psychological problems. Dogs in America are nice and chunky, and they have psychological problems. So it's not the dog.
Right. I love that they call you the Dr. Phil for dogs, and you have a dog psychology center here in Los Angeles.
Well, psychology means common sense. It's just a logical cycle of life, you know. It's just the word sounds very, you know, institutional. But
right.
It's really to give people the access to a simple knowledge. You know, everybody wants to train the dog. Well, that is wonderful, and that's the whole point of the last book. But it's very important that the human is trained, you know, that he understand how dogs relate to the world, not how the human wants him to relate to the world. A lot of times people want to make a dog a human. Loving a dog like a human is fine, but to change his identity is not healthy to him.
Well, you know, Caesar, I've got to commend you because I'm a big dog rescue person myself. I have two Great Pyrenees, Max and Fred. And, you know, I think some people don't realize is a lot of times when you are called in, you're confronting people that are in crisis and, you know, they've been almost told to put their dog down. I know a lot of the dogs that you have now, no one thought should be left alive. And, you know, you've of course, trained them. So you're doing a great service for.
I don't train them. I rehabilitate them, you know, from aggression, from fear. The dogs that I work with, for the most part, are trained. Say down, stay calm, heal. But when they see another dog, they want to kill them. You know, when they see a cat, they want to chase them. When they see a squirrel, they get fixated. So even though the dog, you know, he sits as long as there's no distractions.
You know, my dog Fred is obsessed with squirrels. Can you explain that to me? Why is that they always think that this squirrel will be the one they'll actually catch? Why does, despite failure many, many times, are they so obsessed?
No, that's just the patience of a hunter.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, you know, dogs are hunters. Dogs are predators. So if you don't control instincts, this is what we're going to experience, you know. And for them to wait, it's life.
Caesar, I have a dog, a personal problem that I think only you can solve. So my Great Pyrenees, Max, is 4 years old, and he's used my dog door and yard all his life. But I think he got caught in there once. Like, you know how sometimes the rubber comes out, or he got hurt going in or out? He won't use the dog door now unless I'm there. And I've tried to retrain him. Like, I go in and out, and I give him treats on either side and all that, and he still won't use the dog door unless I'm there. What do I do?
Well, you got to make it a little bit more excited. It's not necessary they want to follow the human, you know, when the human goes through the door.
My technique's not as good as yours, okay.
Well, that's not as excitement. I think to make more, this is what I would do in my situation, you know, because the biggest drive on earth is food, is you know, uh-huh. Hunger. So I let the dog fast for one day, raise the level of hunger, and then feed him as he's doing that behavior. So, you know, because you have to overcome the fear.
Yeah, he's scared of the dog door now. Yeah,
right,
I see.
Right.
Yeah.
So one, you know, right now the drive of fear is controlling simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, so to the point that you can give steak, and he'd rather listen to fear than the steak.
Listen, I would do anything for a steak, too. Caesar, I know you've got a busy morning. We've got to let you go, but the new book is Caesar's, your fifth book, Caesar's Rules, Your Way to Train a Well-Behaved Dog, and, of course, the new National Geographic show, The Dog Whisperer. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Good morning.
All right, there he goes.
Yay! He wants you to starve your dogs.
Yeah, starve your dogs.
I'm not going to do that.
And train them.
Yeah. So that he wants you to train your dogs, Stephanie.
I'm the worst dog trainer in the world.
No.
I didn't mention that to him.
I told you
at my party, someone told me Max licked everything on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He didn't eat it, though. He just licks it.
Stephanie, you just said you're the worst dog trainer in the world. You're a non-existent dog trainer.
You don't train your
dogs. You don't train your dogs.
Yeah, when he said don't treat them like humans, I'm like, what?
You just let them be free.
Yeah, because, you know.
Shut up. We're very happy together.
Right, your dogs are your kids, right?
Yes. They're not like my kids. They are my kids.
No, I said your dogs are your kids.
Yes.
People discipline their children. You don't discipline your children.
I don't believe in it. All right. Starve my dog for a day and then give him a steak. What? All right. Let's go to Francis in Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Francis.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot. I got a great story about Prop 19, the marijuana initiative.
Okay.
I have some friends who were doing voter registration at Cal State Northridge. They had a little card table set up and said, come register to vote, come register to vote, and they were being totally ignored. And one of them got a good idea, and she said, hey, do you want to legalize marijuana? And suddenly the table was surrounded with food.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Francis, thank you. I love this. Somebody Camellia sent me a card that says, I wish my state had a frighteningly unintelligent, witchcraft-dabbling non-masturbator I could vote against. Damn, my race isn't as fun.
Stoners are like our guys you're going to vote for us.
Wait. I love this one. The unshaven wolf candidate in... Alaska.
Werewolves of Alaska.
Yes, Joe Miller.
Mm-hmm.
No relation.
No.
Different wolf child entirely.
Yes.
He said, I love this. He says he will no longer answer reporters' questions. See, none of these Tea Party can. Eventually, it's just, okay, you know what? You reporting on things that I say is making me look bad, and that's it. He will no longer answer reporters' questions about his background and personal life, citing the viciousness of the campaign.
Mm.
Well, viciousness
point out things
in the,
that he said.
Pointing out that
did.
He is, in fact, on a big...
Wheel
yes.
Right-wing hypocrites!
Yes, reports in recent weeks have found that Miller, a fiscal conservative who has called for an end to the welfare state, received, federal farm subsidies for land he owned in Kansas in the 90s, that he and his wife got low-income hunting and fishing licenses when they first moved to Alaska. He also acknowledged his family received Medicaid for a period, and his wife briefly got unemployment benefits. And then in addition, they were on the kids' health care, paying the low-income.
The Denali, mm-hmm. Yes.
Miller says this has become a distraction from the issues of the race. It's become a distraction that he's a big, giant
hypocrite.
He's not going to talk about it anymore.
Since when do...
Because it's vicious.
Since when do questions of character not...
Wait a minute. You want me to explain my policy positions? Why the nerve?
Why it seems incongruous and hypocritical that I'm against all government help of any kind and I've taken it all my life? What? Why? I have no further questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Well, obviously, food stamps can't buy razors.
Apparently not. I guess you cannot buy a Gillette. Who knew?
Or maybe he's only interviewed during a full moon. Maybe that's I think they time it for the full moon.
And apparently the silver bullet did not work on Lisa Murkowski, and she's back. Okay. 43 minutes after the hour, Energy Secretary Stephen Chu. How about me? Coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa, that was cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it. Solar power. 48 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, Jim, it's not often that I have a guest on that I have so much in common with. It's almost eerie.
You got a Nobel Prize?
Yes. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu, Dr. Chu, a distinguished scientist, co-winner of the Nobel Prize for Physics in 97. Me too.
Yeah.
His research in atomic physics, quantum electronics, polymer, and biophysics include tests of fundamental theories in physics and the development of methods to laser cool and trap atoms, atom interferometry, the development of the first atomic fountain, and the manipulation study of polymers and biological systems at the single molecule level. I don't know where I end and he begins.
That's your resume.
Dr. Stephen Chu, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time with us. I've not often been so over my head in an interview, but thank you for taking time.
My pleasure.
And now, tell us about, I mean, obviously the big news is that you installed solar panels at the White House.
Well, I hope that's not the only news we have, but yes, we're installing solar panels, both photovoltaic and heat panels. This is to show the country that these technologies exist, and it's a very important gesture. But we've been installing a lot of solar panels around the country, and we think that's much bigger news.
Well, I mean, I just think it's a great story in the sense that it is setting an example. I think, as you said, around the world, the White House is a symbol of freedom and democracy. It should be a symbol of America's commitment to a clean energy future.
Absolutely. I think what the president wants to do is what America really needs in this terrible, terrible recession. The most important thing is to put Americans back to work. And if you look around, what do we also need? Well, we need to transition to a sustainable energy future that will make us more competitive. That means we use energy more efficiently. We generate energy in newer ways that are cleaner, that the world is going to demand these new technologies, and it's a race. China, Japan, Europe are racing to see who's going to be the leader of these new technologies.
Well, right, and I think you said it best. Will we be a leader in this race, or will we be importing technologies from the other countries 5 to 10 years from now? You know, if anything appeals to Americans' can-do spirit and pioneering spirit, this should be it.
Absolutely. But remember, it's also creating new industries, which means creating jobs. And this is jobs not only to make stuff that will be used here and in the United States, but also to be exported. So this is job creation in a very necessary role that we have to modernize the way we use and produce energy.
Well, and by the way, you know, you speak of the economy. I know my contractor friend was telling me what great tax breaks you can get and how great this is and how much it pays for itself over time, and I don't know if people realize that about going solar themselves.
Yes, that's a very good point. I think what we in the Department of Energy want to do more than anything is to convince people that moving towards more efficient use of energy is really about saving money. Saving money, even if you have to borrow money, if you do it the right way, you can actually, the interest on that loan, if you get a, we're looking for more financial instruments, but the interest on that loan and monthly payments should be less than the money you save in energy bills. So it's all about saving money.
Secretary Chu, the midterms obviously coming up. How are you feeling at the White House?
Well, I think this is a very important referendum because what President Obama wants to do is exactly what I've been talking about. How do you create jobs in a meaningful way? And the way you create jobs is you look at our infrastructure and say, we have to move towards the future. The United States in the past has been really, really very good at this. We have an incredible innovation machine when the right policies are set. And so I think this, in fact, should be a nonpartisan issue. We have to move towards more efficient use of energy, cleaner forms of energy. The world will need these products, and we can save a lot of money to boot while we're putting meaningful, long-lasting jobs out there. And so I think, unfortunately, it's not a it's become a partisan issue where the president wants to move forward. This is the way to create meaningful jobs now and in the coming decades. And the opposition apparently says, no, we don't want to do it this way.
Well, so, I mean, yesterday he was talking about infrastructure. Take a listen.
We're not just talking new and restored roads and bridges and dams and levees, but we're also talking a smart electric grid and the high-speed internet and rail lines required for America to compete in the 21st century economy. We're talking about investments with impacts both immediate and lasting.
You know, and yet you still get the same pushback from Republicans, Secretary Chu, don't you? We can't afford it. We can't afford this. It's just they don't seem to get the math that it's cheaper in the long run, right?
I agree. I think we can't afford not to do this. The United States was the first country that actually produced electricity in a distribution system. It's Thomas Alva Edison. There's a competition between Edison and Westinghouse. We universal telephone service, Alexander Graham Bell. These are things that we innovate. We weren't, in those days, we weren't saying, can we really afford to make telephones accessible to all Americans, or can we really want to wire electricity to as many Americans as possible? We saw this as a business opportunity. We saw this as a mechanism for growth. Giving energy and giving information to people is what it's all about. And this smart grid will then enable Americans to save on their electricity bills. It will enable power companies to get a better return on their investment, so it means lower rates. It's good in many, many ways.
Well, and, you know, as everybody says, this election, you know, is going to be about the economy and jobs, jobs, jobs. And as the president said yesterday,
nearly one in five construction workers is still unemployed and needs a job. And that makes absolutely no sense at a time when there's so much of America that needs rebuilding.
I mean, these infrastructure projects are good in so many ways, right? They're jobs, they're clean energy, they are, like you say, they're rebuilding an infrastructure that desperately needs it.
Right, and so this is going, again, to the same thing. We have had an aging infrastructure, and since we want to put Americans to work, this is a perfect thing. We can modernize the United States, put Americans to work, and these will be investments that will pay back over 10, 20, 30, 50 years.
Energy Secretary Dr. Stephen Chu, thank you as always for your time. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there he goes. It's the exact same resume as me.
Yeah, right.
We could talk for hours about the atomic polymer stuff.
Yeah, of course, if Republicans are in charge, they'll use solar panels to fuel their oil drilling and coal mining operations. No, you're missing the point.
No. That's the president talking about this again yesterday.
Tens of thousands of projects employing hundreds of thousands of workers are already underway across America. We're improving 40,000 miles of road and rebuilding water and sewer systems.
Socialism.
We're implementing a smarter, more stable, more secure electric grid across 46 states that will increase access to renewable sources of energy and cut costs for customers.
You're right. That'll be on Beck tonight. That'll be the road to communism. That's what he's talking about, my friends.
He wants to build a road to socialist commie-Nazism.
Don't you love how apparently we could afford the illegal, unnecessary war, but we can't afford the Republic. We can't afford this. Ray LaHood, the transportation secretary.
This will not be put on the debt. We will find a path forward to pay for.
And they're willing to add how many trillions to the debt with the tax cuts for the rich?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is it? Andy Borowitz has tweeted, hey, maybe the Tea Party would be cool with gay pride marches if the gays were dressed as Nazis.
Oh, okay. Well, they could be the brown shirts. I mean, Ernst Röhm was a big mo.
Who?
Ernst Röhm, head of the SA, Sturmabteilung.
What's a big what?
Maybe they wouldn't mind if they were.
What did you say? Was a big what?
He was gay.
You said he was a big mo. Which I found kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. But he's also a huge, really ugly guy, so that's,
Maybe it's true. They wouldn't mind if they were grinding against each other in Speedos as long as there was a swastika on the Speedo.
Right.
That was common in 1930s Berlin.
But,
I saw Cabaret.
Yeah, I know what goes on.
Even the orchestra is beautiful.
What good is sitting alone in your room when you could be doing a Nazi reenactment with a Republican candidate?
In a Nazi Speedo.
A Nazi Speedo.
Yeah, big swastika over your junk.
We salute noted feminist Linda McMahon in this election cycle. Connecticut Republican Senate nominee Linda McMahon says she likes WWE a little tamer than when she ran the company. She was asked if she was comfortable with that video that shows her husband ordering a woman in a wrestling ring to get down on all fours and bark like a dog. She said, well, WWE programming has changed over the years. Now the content is PG. I'm happy with the content today. So, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. It was much more piggish when she ran the company. She likes it better than she's not running the company anymore. I didn't like it when that idiot was running the company. Oh, me?
She's so yesterday.
Oh, whatever. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Julie Brown, debuting her new hit singles on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Now do it. Offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. And this hour, the fabulous Julie Brown, who debuts all her hit singles on our show.
Look out! The girl VP!
Good morning, Julie Brown.
Hi, how are you?
Last time I saw you, we were dancing to Lady Gaga at my birthday party.
Like maniacs at your party. Wasn't that so fun?
It was so fun.
I was looking for you at your party. I'm going, where is she? And then I just started dancing over there because the music was so good, and there you were.
There
I was like, there she is. It was like in a movie.
I'm a dancer, damn it. You know where to find me.
I know, I know.
I love during the break, we do what all people in L.A. do. We were doing a version of L.A. Traffic Talk.
Oh, I know, because it's so shocking. You can't believe it's become like this, right?
Yes. Well, we were saying, because someone, Jim, invited all of us to lunch in Marina Del Rey. We're like, that's like going to the moon,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. What were you thinking?
Yeah. And you said your boyfriend lives on the west side, which is like a long-distance relationship.
I said, this has become a long-distance relationship. I see you as much as if you lived in, like, you know, Phoenix. So it's like, I said, move, idiot. But he's like, I don't know. It's, you know, the real estate prices. Yeah.
Maybe calling him an idiot is the other thing that might be making him less likely to move.
I know.
No. You have people who don't live here say, oh, you live in L.A.? You must go to the beach every day. Yeah. No, I live in the valley. I might as well be in Phoenix.
My friend invited me to dinner with her family in Malibu Canyon Sunday. I'm like, Malibu? That's like going to the moon on a school night. I have to work on the next day.
You never go there.
No.
Ever.
No.
And they can't imagine that. Like, of course you'd go, right?
Yes. What's like, Jim, it's like somebody saying, can you be in Burlington, Vermont in like 15 minutes?
No.
I can't.
Or Manhattan. Yeah, no. Doesn't work.
So do you know all the secret ways home from where we are?
I don't know how to get anywhere.
I've had to learn every little secret back road. I know them all.
That was an L.A. story. Steve Martin driving through his backyard.
But I know them now.
You need several double Frappuccino vanilla lattes to get through all the back routes. Julie Brown, so, of course, since your world premiere of your wildly popular The Girl VP's Got a Gun, the good news for you is it really looks like Sarah Palin is going to friggin' run, which
I know.
Awesome.
How exciting. Great. I'm so excited. Even though she said, I'm going to see what the people think, right?
Think you're an idiot.
Yeah, they think you're an idiot, but she's going to run anyway because I think she can't resist, right?
I know. She said publicly over the weekend about the 2012 race. She said, these two elections, 2010, 2012, go hand in hand. The theme of 2010 has to be rebuke their errors, reject, repeal, and then the theme of 2010, renew, revive, and restore.
And repudiate.
And repudiate, of course.
Exactly. Just gobbledygook, right?
I
love her, though, because I want to do, like, little movies, little web movies about her getting ready for the election.
I've loved you forever, but since the Tanya Harding and the, what's the other one I love?
Lorena Bobbitt, that one?
Yes. You are the most hilarious woman alive.
Oh, thank you.
What were those? Were those for Showtime?
Those were for Showtime. They were Showtime specials, and I had done the Madonna, Satyr, Medusa, and
that one.
And they were like, do another one. And then the two women that were in the news were Tanya Harding and Lorena Bobbitt, and they're both like little tiny crazy women. So. put them together.
And you specialize in tiny crazy women.
I do. I'm tiny and crazy. So it was really fun and just, it was really fun.
Oh, you've
got to
do the Sarah Palin thing. That would be hilarious.
So. I mean, I think Tina Fey is like over it, but you know, I'm not. Right? I'm ready to do it.
You got
to
do Christine O'Donnell,
too. Oh, I love her so much.
Did you see the SNL thing?
Yes. You know what?
I'm not a witch, but if I were, you wouldn't want to get on my bedside, would you?
I know. She seems like, you remember in Election Tracy Flick?
Yes.
That's what she's like. Yeah. Like, you know, I just want to do what the people want. I just want to do that, you know? She's like the craziest, like, righteous person ever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It comes from not masturbating. That's how you get that crazy.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe if she just would a few times, she'd be completely different.
She would calm down. Yeah, so Sarah Palin has taken to comparing herself to Reagan, as you know.
She said the
message should be not transformation, but restoration with a great awakening that we already feel emerging across America. Do you see the shining city on the hill?
Morning in America.
Right.
In America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty good.
Well.
She says, we will win this year, we will win this year, and I believe we will win in 2012. Well, we believe that...
She does know she's going to have to do interviews to get to the president.
Yes, she will have to answer questions.
Without things written on her hand.
Yeah. You're not allowed to tweet in the presidency.
Yeah.
Can you have a presidency entirely on Facebook? If you could, she would...
I hope.
Maybe she'll have an answer for what do you read next time.
Exactly.
That's what she's doing right now. She's preparing all those questions, right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
She's reading maybe right now.
Probably right as we speak, she's reading. Okay, she's high school, isn't she?
She
gets into the Twitter wars, and she's only talks on Facebook, and it just,
she's perfect. She's like, I guess these women, they are like high school girls, right?
Yeah. They're like mean girls.
Mean girls in high school that you just hate, that are so righteous, and, you know.
Like Carly Fiorina, like, that Roboxer's hair, so yesterday.
Oh, I know.
So catty.
I know. They're just, wasn't that mean?
Yes.
Super mean. They are the mean girls.
Yes. Meg Whitman likes to shove Asian underlings, apparently, at work.
Oh, I want to do her, too. I want to do a little movie of her, and I want to put, like, a bald cap on.
Yeah. Oh,
and
then, Julie Brown. Yeah. There you are, reviving that rumor that you could show a drive-in movie on her forehead. That is not nice.
No, but I'd put a wig on, but way far back.
Like the wig the Penguin wore.
Yes, exactly.
Batman.
Exactly.
All right. Now, we like to debut your world debut hilarious musical hits and just give them out like little Skittles, little candy.
Yeah, exactly.
We will sprinkle them through the interview to keep people...
I know. I always premiere them here. It's not a plan. It just happens.
Well... I'm glad that you have such bad taste, because I'm like, what? On my show? Okay. All right. Now, Lady Gaga, all the rage, obviously.
I know. I love her so much. Don't you love her?
Yes.
So
in the meat dress, in any kind of dress.
Oh, my God. That was the best thing ever. I started thinking, I should wear a meat dress, like maybe a chicken dress, raw chicken. Maybe that's a bad idea. Salmonella dress. But I love her. She's just outrageous and fun. And
did you see the Larry King interview where she was dressed in the suspenders? That was
I didn't.
That was a little Fellini-esque.
Oh, I'll have to Google
meat
that.
Meat suspenders. Hello. Should I call you lady?
Is that what he said?
I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, so obviously Bad Romance.
Yeah, Bad Romance, which I love that song. I mean, I think that song's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's about, but it's just so... I just love the music.
You love the beat.
The beat and the feel of it. So I thought, okay, I have to do that.
My favorite moment at my party was, you remember Gloria Allred was out there dancing to Poker Face with us?
Oh, no.
And saying, Meg Whitman spent $120 million. I spent $10 for a chalkboard, and I'm taking her down.
That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is Big Clown Pants?
Yes, it is. And I just figured if Lady Gaga were doing a comedy album, what would she do?
So, I think it might go a little something.
Like this. Once I went to the circus and I saw this clown. Well, he was the kind of clown who makes you want to do things you shouldn't. You know, bad things. Bozo, oh no no, goo goo ga ga ga, oh no, blah blah blah, what's in your clown pants? I want your big nose, I want your red mouth, I wanna find out what you got down south, I want your gloves, on my ass your big blue gloves, 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 Krusty and Bozo are telling me lies.
about big shoes, don't you? You know what I like? When they start to fit tight. I want them bad, your big clown pants.
I want your suitcase, I want your freckles. You and me inside your big clown pants. I want a chance to juggle your balls. Can I get it inside your big clown pants? Oh, 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 Coco. So hot in your big clown pants. Oh, 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 Bongo. What have you got in your big clown pants?
Stop talking about Christine O'Donnell's dad.
That is hilarious.
Thank you.
I'm just, you know, I think what I'm struck by this morning is the fact that we had Energy Secretary Nobel-winning Dr. Stephen Chu on and the debut of Big Clown Pants.
Yes.
There is not a radio show in America.
Ever, never. I feel so honored.
And that song is available on iTunes
right now, as we speak. Yes.
Exactly. Talking atomic physics and finding out what's in your Big Clown Pants. That's...
and juggling balls.
Pardon me?
Juggling balls.
Juggling balls.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
I could put him in the video.
Here's what I love about your songs is you have to listen over and over because it's so dense with comedy.
Oh,
every
thank
line
you.
Is so hilarious.
Well,
that
you know, I
you
try.
Laugh, and then I'm like, oh, no, I can't hear what the next thing was because I just laughed over that.
Well, I feel like if you're going to do a song like that, you got to try to make it have a lot to it, right?
Right.
Instead of, like, there's all over the web, you know, there's songs like I Kissed a Squirrel, you know, like the satire of I Kissed a Girl. And you're like, okay, you don't have to hear that again, right?
You're right. You get it.
That's
it.
Yeah. So I go, okay, got to try to make this complex as much as I possibly can about clown pants. So I did my best.
Like, for instance... We have to bust out the girl VP, the whole song again, because some of it was just hilarious stuff that you threw in. Like, I think it was towards the end when you were being her shooting stuff up.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh, I got a homo or something.
Yeah, exactly. I was just trying to throw everything I knew about Sarah Palin in at that moment.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I got to take her down any way I can. With comedy, yeah, that'll do it. But she didn't win, so maybe it worked.
We got to bust that one back out. And okay. I don't know if you wrote this for me, but I'm going to say that you did a spoof of TikTok by...
Yes, I did write it for you.
By
who?
Kesha. Another drunk chick.
Yes, I did write it for you. No, I just figure, like, you know, drunk chicks, they need an anthem.
Yes.
So I figured I should write it. And Kesha was such, you know, her video, she's so dopey in it. It was just, I was completely inspired. So I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do right now. And I have a video. My video's on my on YouTube.
It's really?
Julie Brown TV. Yeah.
Okay, because Julie Brown's, you've got to see both, because her videos are the most hilarious. If you think the song is funny, you've got to see it with the video, because you are just everything. Your facial expressions, you're I love you.
Thank
I love you,
you
forever.
I love her.
Mm. And I don't even mean it in a gay way. 18 minutes after the hour, back with the world debut of another drunk chick, devoted to...
Stephanie Miller.
Because I say so. 19 minutes after the hour, another drunk chick, the world debut coming up with Julie Brown as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my, how ruthlessly absurd.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The reviews are already rolling in on Facebook, on the live blog. Julie Brown's new song, Big Clown Pants, rocks. Julie Brown, hilarious. Julie Brown's new song, rocks.
Everybody fantastic.
Available on iTunes now. by the way, so in your, we were saying that you're doing a new version, you think of Vague.
Yes, I did a new
version
on this
parody.
Record. On this record, yeah. Because I figured, you know, I did this song, you know, a satire of Madonna's Vague. Vogue.
Right.
I just get confused.
Yes.
Versus. Mine is Vague. Okay. And I figured, you know, that was a while ago, and there's way more Vague celebrities. Right?
Yes.
So I had to redo it.
And that was from your original Truth or Dare, Madonna, the parody, which was hilarious, the parody of the Madonna.
Thank you. And I never, it never got released. The song never got released anyway. So I thought, I'm just going to redo it and release it now.
Right.
So, and I'm going to sing that at the Jane Lynch Gala.
Well, it's a gay thing. I haven't been invited to.
I know.
To
it's
the Los
ridiculous.
Angeles Gay and Lesbian Gala honoring Jane Lynch at the Beverly Hills.
You should be there. It's ridiculous. What? I'm going to make sure they invite you.
Please. For
yeah.
God's sakes. And I love this. You're also at Tranny Shack in San Francisco.
I know.
On Halloween.
How crazy is that going to be? Tranny Shack. I know. I'm like, oh, my God. It's going to be on Halloween in San Francisco, Tranny Shack.
That's hilarious.
That's like
the Halloween
that's
bash.
That's like gay squared and like, right? It's like
a 10th hour.
It is. It really
put phasers on stun.
I know.
Don't cross your beams. I know. All right. Now, this song, who we decided is for me.
Yeah. Well, you did. Yeah. Another drunk chick. It's a drunk chick anthem.
Yes, it's to TikTok, Keisha's TikTok, and
yeah.
They're saying it is to women that are way too old to be out drinking.
Way too old,
like me.
Yeah. In the video, me and Natasha Ginsburg are drinking, and we are way too old to behave like that. Right?
Here it is now, my new anthem.
Wake up on the floor wondering where I am. What's that taste in my mouth? Is it tequila or ham? Last thing I remember, some guy asked me to dance. So what the hell happened to my underpants? But let's go out tonight. T-shirts really tight. Leave our bras at home.
Yeah.
Nip showing. Pull up in my Camry. Looking really nasty. Want to get a whole lot wasted. Don't stop to the top. Come on, fill my drink up. Tonight, gonna party till I act up some Bacardi. I'm not watching my mother kick. We took home a dude who needed some banaka, and when he had an orgasm, he sounded like Chewbacca. At the bar, I thought he was much cuter, but when I woke up, he looked just like Freddy Krueger. Love how you dress so fancy, like you're putting on the Ritz. If you buy me one more drink, I'll show you my ID. Oh, you thought I was going to say tits. Oh, I just said tits. I can't stop.
Are you allowed to say that?
I don't think so.
Oh, I should have cleared that. Oh, my God.
Well,
I forgot.
We should have ran up these standards and practices.
Oh, well.
Flagpole.
Oh, wow.
Cheats is fine.
Yes, that's what we meant. Oh, my God. That could be in honor of Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina, who I hear were doing tequila shots yesterday.
Yes.
Did you send me that story?
That almost makes you like them a little better, though, doesn't
yes.
it? A little bit, right?
Oddly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, all right.
Where's my tequila song? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. This is Meg Whitman. It was at some sort of Hispanic event. Meg Whitman was trying to, you know,
oh,
get back
Hispanic?
In good with it.
Oh,
yes.
That was good. So she thought, I'll get drunk with the Latinos.
Yes.
That'll do it.
Yeah. They'll like me now.
They'll like me now.
Yes, they apparently were downing shots of tequila.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I know. Trying to seem like regular folk.
Oh, my God.
For multi-billionaire CEOs.
So they were just smashed leaving
that place.
Maybe
the guy in the Nazi uniform should drink schnapps with those two.
And then they got on the bar in their little white shoes and danced to tequila. All right.
I'm trying to use the food!
Hopefully, Meg Whitman thinks all the Hispanics in California will get drunk enough to forget that she's mistreated her Latino employees for years.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's so funny she would get drunk with them. Like, thinking that will do it.
But
that's
you're still not
want.
Getting gas money.
Yeah. She's like, well, the Latinos like drunk people, so they'll like me.
All right. Now, Julie Brown, as well as I know you, I had to read your bio anyway because this is what
that's
happens.
Okay. That's
your
okay.
people send things
yeah.
to me. Apparently, Julie currently lives, well, these are the fun facts about Julie Brown. You live in the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, yeah, but my house got flooded, so I had to move out.
Oh.
For 4 months.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to know whether these things are true that you do in your home in the Hollywood
okay.
Hills that are in your bio. We will talk about
okay.
that and
all
much
right.
more with Julie Brown as we continue 29 minutes
okay.
after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You will be my Mona Lisa, my Sistine Chapel. I will find the sculpture in the stone.
Slow down, Da Vinci.
How do you feel about a push-up bra?
How do you feel about a genital shocking taser gun?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian, singer extraordinaire, Julie Brown, live in studio. The funny one.
Okay. Not the other, yeah.
Not the other one.
Not the boring one.
Not the downtown one. Even though people
downtown
look at me.
Julie Brown.
They look at me and go, downtown Julie Brown. So it's like,
right.
It's like, forget it, you know. Right.
They've forgotten about the other one.
Listen, I
totally eclipsed her.
I'm thrilled about my new song, Another Drunk Chick, which is written for me, now available on iTunes, which you just debuted a few minutes ago.
Written for you.
And I was saying that I almost had a disaster this morning, being that I am drunk for most shows. I almost switched your show prep with Energy Secretary Dr. Stephen Chu, and that would have been embarrassing. Dr. Chu, I understand you have a song called Big Clown Pass. Tell us about that. Oh, you're the Nobel Prize-winning physicist.
Solar-powered Big Clown Pass.
Did Tonya Harding get mad at you when you played her?
She's kind of funny. She goes, I wonder what sometimes these people are talking. They're thinking, does he know he's being really boring? They can't help it. They're just a lot smarter than the rest of us.
I'm going to say this very slowly so that you understand.
Julie Brown, according to you, the fun facts on your show, on the you know, this is your people sent this.
Okay, then I hope it's true.
Julie Brown lives high up in the Hollywood Hills.
Oh yes, I do. Very high up where the celebrities live,
where she enjoys cooking, raising multi-poos.
Yeah,
is that true?
I don't. Yeah, I cook, I guess, and I have a multi-poo.
Well, that's not really raising multi-poos, is it?
No, I want to get another one, and I think they just sort of...
It's a hopeful bio.
It is. I have one very adorable one, and I want another one. So it's hopeful.
And
it's like saying I want to get a hamster.
It literally says she enjoys cooking, raising multi-poos, and mixed martial arts cage fighting.
What?
In her limited spare time. Okay, so that starts a lie, right? That they just wanted to see if they could have interviewers like me get thrown off.
I want to be a mixed martial arts.
Once again, sort of a hopeful thing.
Hopeful thing.
You're not actually a mixed martial arts cage fighter.
No.
Well, who knew?
Maybe I should make them change that.
Someone's going to challenge you.
You have a lot of interviewers that really don't. Not a joke.
Oh, that's
Julie, I understand you are a mixed martial arts cage fighter.
Or maybe yes, I should
kick you in the ankle.
I should just go, yes, I am. Why? What would you like to know? I should just go with it.
Come on, bring it on.
All right. And by the way, we were mentioning before the break, Another Drunk Chick, Julie Brown's new single, is also for Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina, who were downing tequila shots over the weekend, apparently, at a Hispanic 100 Lifetime Achievement Awards gala.
I love that.
Carly Fiorina said, I think every speech should begin with a shot of tequila. Oh, I find her speeches go much better for me than I've had a few shots of tequila. Otherwise, they're kind of unbearable. Now, you debuted I always say it wrong.
It's the ex-Beauty Queen's Got a Gun.
Yes.
I know. I get confused, too.
And explain again the connection to
Stephanie Miller.
That's always my favorite
part.
To
you? Well, my brother listens to your show all the time. He said, you have to rewrite that song about Sarah Palin for the Stephanie Miller show. I mean, he called me up and said that. I went,
because that was one of your big hits. You're one of your most famous songs, The Beauty Queen's Got a Gun.
And I realized that's a brilliant idea, right? I had to do it. So I got the old tapes out, and I had to bake them because they were
so old.
That's what they make you do to be able to use
old radio tapes.
Yes,
so I'm like, what?
You have to bake them. So I was like, okay, I'll bake them. And then I took them down to the studio to record after they were baked, and I realized they have the same old background sounds on them, like, you know, E, take it. And I thought, I'm not even changing those.
I'm not even updating it. Screw them.
I'm not even doing that. It's too much work. So I did rewrite the lead vocal and sing that, and that was enough work. And I made it about Sarah Palin because I had to do something at that moment. And, you know, it was you, though. I mean, you were the inspiration.
It was, and you debuted on our show. It was
exactly.
A huge, huge hit, as all of your songs are, because they are hilarious. But, now that she's back in the news and she really looks like she's going to run for president, we have to hear it again.
Okay, so, you must.
Once again.
It was election year in the USA. John McCain chose Sarah to save the day. We were real excited. What a maverick choice. Her only flaw was that annoying voice.
Oh, hi, I'm Sarah Palin.
In glasses and a bun. Just like the messy librarian. She brought her kids for all of us to see. They even lick each other on TV. Cheering, everyone was stoked. I mean, it's like the whole convention was totally coked, except for Joe Lieberman, too. While she talked, I
rest of the country go to hell. Then all of a sudden, somebody yelled, "Look out! The girl VP's got a gun!" Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen's got a gun. Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen has got a gun.
Is this really happening? I don't believe it!
Sarah's smiling and waving her gun, sucking in Republicans one by one. GOP stands for Gullible Old Party. Can't they see she's just Alaskan Barbie? And poor pregnant Bristol, I think I heard her shriek. Stop it, Mom, you're such a freak! Why do you think I have a bun in the oven? Do you blame me for getting some hockey player loving? Everybody run. The girl VP's got a gun. Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen has got a gun.
Stop, Sarah, I'm so afraid. Don't take back Roe versus Wade.
She always gets excited when someone mentions drilling. Except the kind that gays do, then she's really chilling.
This is just for guys and gals. The Bible clearly states, if you would just pray harder, God would make you straight.
Huh? I swear I'm going to slap that lipstick off that pig.
How can people think she's the answer to their prayers? She wants to pop a cap in all the polar bears. And what's with all this talk of her shooting caribou? How could with no rim picker? Is it sniffing glue?
Everybody run. The girl VP's got a gun. Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen has got a gun.
You're not that hot, I hate to be rude. Okay, you're better than Dick Cheney nude. But that ahead of she became commander-in-chief. McLean had choked to death on a piece of unchewed beef. Then someone pissed her off. Was it Iraq or maybe Spain? She said, let's nuke them all, because all foreigners are the same. Then she started bombing France and Mexico and China. Oh, my God, she's like Hitler with a vagina. So they started bombing back, and I crawled into the Oval Office, and I found Sarah under a desk, which is probably how she got the nomination in the first place. And I whispered in her face, Sarah, why'd you do it? She lifted her cinched beehive, smiled, and said,
oh, gosh, I guess I did it for the children.
The children? The children? What do you mean you did it for the children? There are no children. You killed them all. They're dead. You didn't do it for the children. Then I woke up, and I thought, oh, God, this is like that story, the Christmas Carol, where the ghost of Christmas future was going to amputate Tiny Tin Flag. But we can still vote for Barack and Joe, and we'll all be saved. Yay! Unless we let Barbie and Grammy make sense. Oh, God, no!
Everybody run. The girl VP's got a gun.
Run!
Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen has got a gun.
Run, polar bears, run! Run, gay guys! Get those assless chaps into gear!
Caitlin O'Donnell, 2012.
Oh,
that's
man, and she's back.
She's back, and so much has happened, yet she's still around.
Yes, she's still here.
Well, she's still here, haunting us.
You've got to do, I know, now I'm thinking you have to do a Christine O'Donnell, something to witchcraft, something.
I do, I just witchcraft. Have to think of it, but I think I have to do her.
I think so.
Because I love her,
cuckoo,
too.
I mean, it's funny you have the, you know, the homophobic stuff in there, and you've heard this Carl Palladino. Who can even write these characters?
I know.
He's awful.
He's so ridiculous. He's a lunatic. I mean, you know, when you're writing it, you go, is this too far? You think, and then you go, no, it's not. This is exactly what they're like.
No, I mean, so oftentimes things Jim says as a joke or a skit then happen during the next news break.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, oh, he's going to blame the Jews for beating up on the gays. And sure enough, he goes, oh, it's the Jews.
The Jews let me do it. They wrote the speech for me. You know what those people are like. I'm going to take them out.
Yeah, this is Carl Palladino on Sunday. Carl Palladino.
I just think my children and your children will be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option. It isn't.
Yeah, by valid and successful, he means his marriage where he's had out of wedlock children
exactly.
with other
But
women,
is he trying to say gays aren't
with
successful?
Other women.
He said more
no,
successful?
It's not a valid or successful lifestyle, apparently. Yes.
But I know a lot of successful gays. I don't know. I do.
And Chris said that earlier. David Geffen? Wait a minute. Isn't there a lot? Huh?
Tom Cruise, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Did I say
what?
That?
Where?
I didn't say that.
Oh, I don't know.
Where did you get such
money? I don't know.
I didn't.
That was a joke.
Now, Julie Brown... yeah, I mean, but we were saying, because you obviously are beloved in the gay community, even though you're straight. I mean, and it's like, it is just such a sort of horrible, I mean, first of all, you feel like it's a hopeful time. Because,
yeah, I do.
You know, we're moving forward on gay marriage, on don't ask, don't tell. And then here come these candidates like this. Christine O'Donnell has said it's an identity disorder. Carl Paladin, and you wonder why we had another gay teenager kill themselves in Oklahoma.
I know.
Was it yesterday, Chris, or... Yeah.
You know, I know. It just, it like breaks your heart. Yeah. It like makes you, I mean, last week I was like crying about it and you're going, but the thing is at the same time, I do think it's hopeful because the fact that all of this is coming to the surface means that things will move forward,
yeah.
right? Because it's not just not talked about anymore. It is being talked about.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been lucky enough to go to a lot of these events lately, you know, Human Rights Campaign, and because I'm a professional gay now.
I know. I love that about you.
I went to the GLSEN Awards this last weekend. I went to a PFLAG event. And just, you know, there are such great people really, like, united and trying to help these kids and save these kids. And but you are literally fighting the Carl Paladinos of the world. This kid that just killed himself in Oklahoma... It was after he went to a hate-filled recent city council meeting where they had whatever their local version of Carl Paladino is screaming.
It's so weird. Have you seen that website, It Gets Better?
Yes.
Yeah. I did a video for it.
Did you? Yeah, I love that. Because that's what it has to be. It has to be, of course it's horrible that these people are like Carl Paladino. But at the same time, I think it's really a big deal to tell like the gay teens how to think positively, how to find the people.
But, I mean, his timing, that was this horrible anti-gay gang violence in the Bronx. Just
why
that weekend.
He,
picks this weekend to say.
He's a douche, you know? Yeah. I mean, he's just a professional douche.
I forgot. We use your Joe Lieberman thing all the time. It comes in so handy.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Carl Paladino.
He's
going to be in the next song.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, those people, they're just... douches, and they're not gonna probably change, right?
Well, I mean, that's the only thing you have to, you know, he's gonna lose by a mile.
Exactly.
Christine O'Donnell's gonna lose by a mile. You gotta go, they are out of step, and
yes,
you're right. And
of
be,
course.
Look at you, you're making me be happy clappy. Normally I'm the happy clappy one. Julie Brown's so bubbly. I love her.
Thank you.
She's like a human little soda pop. She's human pop rocks.
That.
Human pop rocks.
That's what I'm gonna call myself.
47 minutes after the hour, back with more, we'll do Celebrity Stock with Julie Brown next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I don't want that one. I want big clown pants. Now I can never listen to Bad Romance again. You must pick up the Julie Brown parody Big Clown Pants, now available on iTunes. 52 minutes after the hour. The hilarious Julie Brown with us in studio. We love watching the interwebs explode whenever you debut your songs here because people just go insane. They're like, I love it!
And then
iTunes crashes and it's a whole thing.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
You pick up Big Clown Pants and Another Drunk Chick. Which
X-Beauty
is the,
Queen
Keisha.
Is on iTunes, too. Yeah. X-Beauty Queen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I got it up there.
The original hit.
Also, the original.
Laura in Jacksonville, Florida. It's for you, Julie! Hello, Laura.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Julie. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I just turned on the radio, and I got so excited that you're there. That's so cool.
Oh, thank you. I'm having a fantastic time.
Yes. And I wanted to tell you, when I was probably about 10, I brought Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun to camp to do for our talent show.
Oh, my God.
It was so much fun.
And did they like it?
They loved it, and it was so funny. The quietest girl in our bunk was going to be the homecoming queen, and she just came alive on stage.
Julie Brown does that to you.
So cute.
She is human crack. All right. Human pop rocks. She is human pop
human
rocks.
Pop rock.
You know, Julie Brown will be at Tranny Shack in San Francisco
on
Halloween, which I just love saying it over and over again.
Super ultra gay.
Dave,
isn't that? It's so gay. It's the best.
If you're going to San Francisco.
Dave in Orange County on Halloween. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Julie.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, this year is going to be really tough to pick a costume for the Halloween parties. I mean, the Republicans are making it so hard. What do I go as? A witch? A Nazi? A WWE star? Mama Grizzly? A Buffalo mobster? A crying rodeo clown?
Yeah. I mean, gay men are going to go berserk this Halloween.
Yeah.
It's gotten so bad. I see the ads for Party City, and I think they're a political ad from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, Dave. That's funny. All right. Let's do some celebrity stack, shall we? Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher admitted to taking cocaine on the set of The Empire Strikes
Back. I'm shocked. I'm shocked by this. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Just cocaine?
Saying, hey, I took cocaine on the set of Happy Days, okay? So I top that.
They really were happy
I really
days.
Did.
Did you really?
Really
yeah, I really
happy
did.
Days.
Wow. I really did.
She says she didn't even like the drug. Oh, she's one of those people that just like the smell of it.
Right.
She doesn't really. Yeah.
Yeah.
But was intent on getting high. We did cocaine on the set of Empire in the Ice Planet. For those of you that wonder where exactly.
How appropriate.
Carrie Fisher did coke.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Princess Leia.
If you're doing cocaine on the ice planet, how can you find it? You know,
I don't know.
Cocaine
see, that's
is
a challenge.
White, ice planet is white. What?
That's a challenge. All right.
And that's the origin of getting just a little freeze.
Gum freeze, look out. Chris in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
Hello, Mooks. How are
Hello.
You?
Yes.
I wanted to make a point just about the two couple kids you brought up in the past couple of days, the gays who committed suicide.
Gays, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the homosexual men.
Okay.
Committed suicide. I think it's really unfair to blame it on, hate speech from other people. I think that a lot of kids.
Why do you think gay kids are 3 to 4 times more likely to kill themselves? Do you think it has anything to do with people, the Carl Paladinos of the world, being told constantly their lifestyle isn't valid, it isn't accepted, that they're second class citizens.
And I think that's a factor, but I think also the fact that a lot of them are teenagers. There's a lot going on in teenage lives. There's
okay, why are gay teenagers 3 to 4 times more likely to commit suicide, do you think?
Well, how come obese kids aren't committing suicide left and right? I mean, they're picked on just as much. Black
No,
women,
I don't think they are picked on
I don't
just
think
as
they
much.
Are either. I don't think there's, you know, there's not, like, politicians coming out. There aren't politicians saying, don't be fat. I mean, there aren't,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that is wrong.
Right. Exactly.
Well.
No, I mean, you can get picked on for any number of reasons for being different, but it's just, it's a quantitative, I mean, they've done study after study.
That it's just being reported more now, too, because people are just
I don't know.
More
you,
aware of it.
Jill, you were saying your son goes to school
yeah,
here in L.A.
Yeah, my son goes to school in L.A., and we've talked about this a lot, and he said, well, yeah, there's gay kids, but you just go, oh, yeah, okay, they're gay. I mean, I know it's L.A., but to me, that was hopeful, because he's saying the sort of tone of the school is just like, yeah, you're gay, so what, right?
Right.
Not a big deal. And I go, that is because when I was in high school, nobody even talked about that.
Right.
And
right.
So the fact that it's just openly acknowledged and not a big deal, even though it's L.A., it's like the beginning of this maybe, acceptance may be happening.
I had one parent calling once freaking out about that. Like, what am I supposed to tell my children about this? And I had one of my favorite calls, a parent that called, and he said they told their kids, you know, they were all worked up, like, okay, the neighbors, you know, Julie and Michelle or whatever, and the kids were like, okay, can we watch cartoons now?
Yeah, exactly.
I
think that's how they get for them, it's so much more in the media, they get it more that just is there, it's okay, you accept it, it's just part of life, right?
Right.
It's not this big secret thing.
By the way, George Michael is out of jail. He has his, say it with me, everybody, his freedom. That's right. He's was released from jail after serving almost 4 weeks for driving under the influence of drugs. And now he has. I just had to do that so that I could play Freedom.
Okay. Yeah, he's free to roll around with fat van drivers in the bushes again. Yeah.
And I think that's just as valid and successful a lifestyle as
of course it is.
Else.
Oh, my God.
All right. Julie Brown's new hilarious hit singles, Big Clown Pants and Another Drunk Chick, available on iTunes. We love you so much, and you must come back.
I would love to. I have such a blast here.
And bring Vague.
I will. I'll bring the new Vague.
The new Vague.
All new Vague. Vague 2010.
We love us some Julie Brown.
Yeah.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.